From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. President Obama says he wants to sign a health care overhaul bill by the end of the year. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Senate will not have a bill in place by the end of the month, as Mr. Obama had hoped. Reid says it's best to take the time needed to reach a bipartisan agreement. The president says he just wants lawmakers to keep working on the legislation. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met with congressional leaders yesterday for the first time at the U.S. Capitol. His visit comes more than 3 weeks after U.S. combat forces withdrew from Iraqi cities under a new security agreement. More from NPR's David Wellna.
After a closed-door meeting with members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Prime Minister al-Maliki, through a translator, praised the June 30th security agreement.
In the aftermath of the withdrawal and the redeployment of American forces from towns and cities back into the various camps, Iraqi forces were able to maintain security and law and order.
Committee Chairman John Kerry said al-Maliki had expressed what Kerry called great optimism.
Most importantly, he made it very clear to the committee that he envisions no reason at all at this time, and can't really envision it in the future, by which he would ask for American troops to remain.
U.S. combat forces are to be out of Iraq a year from now, with all U.S. forces leaving by 2012. David Wellna, NPR News, the Capitol.
More information has surfaced about an American-born al-Qaeda recruit. U.S. authorities say Bryant Neal Vilnius was trained to become a suicide bomber, but was considered too valuable for that kind of mission. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has more.
26-year-old Bryant Neal Vilnius trained in al-Qaeda camps in northern Pakistan last spring. He went through the usual recruitment program, learning about weapons and explosives. Part of his regular jihad coursework taught him how to use a suicide vest. U.S. intelligence officials told NPR that Vilnius never followed through on that because the terrorist group saw him as being too important for that kind of mission. American recruits without a criminal record carrying a valid U.S. passport are few and far between for al-Qaeda. Intelligence officials have been debriefing Vilnius since last fall when he was arrested in Pakistan. They said one of the most intriguing things about him was how much access he had to the highest levels of al-Qaeda's leadership. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.
The U.S. Navy says a sailor is charged with murdering a seaman at Camp Pendleton. The suspect's name has not been disclosed. Seaman August Provost of Houston was gunned down while on guard duty. Provost's family believes he was killed because he was gay. Navy officials say there's no record of a harassment report from Provost, described by military officials as having been a rising star in the Navy. This is NPR News. Elections officials in Indonesia say final results show President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was re-elected this month with 61% of the vote. The Elections Commission says former President Megawati Soekarnoputri came in second place. Yudhoyono is to be sworn in on October 20th. Settling the presidential vote eliminates the need for a second round of voting and any potential distraction from the search for suspects in last week's hotel bombings in Jakarta. An investigation into what role the use of tasers played in the death of a Polish immigrant at the Vancouver airport nearly 2 years ago finds that stun guns can cause serious injury and even death. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, the judge leading the inquiry also says Canadian society is better off with tasers than without them.
Justice Thomas Braidwood would not call a moratorium on the use of tasers, but did make several recommendations, and that his support for the weapon's use was contingent on more strict standards and better training for police. Braidwood recommends that tasers only be used for truly criminal offenses, not to stop a suspect walking or running away. He also says stun weapons should only be used in cases where bodily harm is imminent. Officers should have more training on the weapon, as well as crisis intervention methods to defuse tense situations. Suspects should be shocked for no longer than 5 seconds, and officers armed with tasers should also carry a heart defibrillator. His report also found that the risk of death increases when the weapons are used on emotionally disturbed subjects. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police Force says it would review the report before complying with the recommendations. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Asian stocks hit a 10-month peak on Friday. The Nikkei is up 151 points. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News from Washington.